So let's begin. We're up to Perek Beis, Pasek Beis. Lahakshav l'chachma oznecha tate libcha latvuna. So yesterday was the Hakdamah to Perek Beis. Shlomo, in the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, says, B'ni, im tikach amoroi u'mitzvasai titzponitach, if you will take me seriously, if you will... You will be my. We learned that according to Rashi in the Mitzvot, the parish of the pasuk is you will be my child if there's a condition. If you will tikach amoroi, you will take my words seriously. You will learn Torah. Then you will be called my child. And I think also the second part of the pasuk is v'sait titzponitach. If you'll take my commandments and they will be hidden within you, meaning absorbed within your essence, within your being, then you will be my child. Now he goes on to elaborate. Pasuk Beis, a series of sukkim, it's elaboration. In fact, according to according to the Mefarshim, there are five different things which he elaborates upon. How a person goes about taking the words of Hashem. How does a person go about the process of taking the words of Hashem, the process of taking the mitzvot and having them hidden within you? Number one, lahakshiv. So we will observe them together and we'll go back and we'll explain one by one. Number one, lahakshiv lachochma oznecha. Okay, the first thing is just to listen. Hakshiv is hearken. It's an intense form of listening. Rashi says la'asok b'Torah. Okay, like we say with the davening, Hashem k'dushan v'vitzvot la'asok b'divrei Torah, to be busy. Being busy in divrei Torah is a lot more than just learning Torah. Occupied. The person that has a business knows what it's like. There's no day. There's no night. There's always something that has to be done. There's always more that can be done to succeed. Torah has to be in the gather of an esek.
That's why it's called an occupation.
Keeps you busy 24/7. So lahakshiv lachochmas nechok. Then comes the next part of the second part of the pasuk, tate libicha latavuna. Now that's a more intense form of study, because here we're not just involving the ears, we are involving the heart. And we're not just referring to chachma, we're referring to tfuna. We all know tfuna is a very deep level of chachma. It even comes after bina. We typically say there's chachma, that's the body of knowledge. Bina is maven davar mitoch davar. And then comes the tfuna. Tfuna is something which is even deeper. It's past the stage of bina.
So,
what? It's the same, but it's a different word though. I know it's the same shoresh, but we had in the beginning of the sefer, it's used even after the word bina. There's bina and then there's tfuna. Okay, in the beginning of Perek Aleph, we did have this. We had both of them were right next to each other. It was part of a process. Let's see if I can find it. I can't find it at this moment, but it appears to me that it's a deeper level of chachma. Let's look one more time. Pasuk Beis. But then there's tfuna. There's another word there. Let's go further. Okay,
there's a Musar here that says that,
and
I was saying for Pasuk Beis, it says tfuna is Havona Saleh.
Havona Saleh.
Which is different than Bina. In our thing, Musar HaKachma defines Bina is to know between true and false. Shaker balance.
That's Bina?
That's Bina, according to this one.
Okay. Okay.
Is that an emotional reaction of Havana Saleh, as versus an intellectual?
No, I think it's not necessarily. I don't know if it has to be emotional. I'm just trying to find where do we have the tfuna. The tfuna appear in the beginning of the sefer somewhere. Lodas chachma muslo haben rabina. Okay. Psaim arma. We definitely had tfuna. Okay, I'm not sure. Okay, definitely tfuna, you're right, is related to bina. But But there is some. There is a difference. I don't see it here in front of me. Okay, so l'chachshav l'chachma aznecha to your ear shall.
He knows in pasuk beis.
I know pasuk beis, but I know. But I thought there was a tuna. I thought there was somewhere tuna. I don't remember. Tuna. I don't remember. No, I don't see it. I don't remember where I saw it. I don't know. Okay, but we have here two different concepts. We have chokhmah and we have tevuna. Tevuna obviously is related to bina, and these two are two different levels. There's first when a person starts off, he starts off with level of chokhmah, and then he delves further. His heart opens up. He turns his heart to concept of tevuna. Okay, let's see right away the mitzvahs pasuk beis lahakshiv v'tzlemar. Amoroi heimo lahakshiv aznecha lachachamim ulahatas libcha l'tfuna. My words are for the purpose of listening. Your ear shall listen to my words, and for the chachamim, and lahatas libcha l'tfuna. Okay, similar. I mean, I'm not exactly sure what the mitzudah is eating more than what it says in the pasuk.
Is navon the same as tfuna?
Navon, yeah, they all have that bina, that beis nun. Anything which has a beis and a nun relates to the concept of bina, maven davar, mitok davar. It says navon.
Yeah, but it doesn't. Again, the question is there a difference between bina and tzvun? They're both from the same sharish, right?
Yeah, they're both from the same sharish.
What?
Would you think there is a difference?
No, right.
Right.
Okay.
Okay.
I
don't remember where we had it somewhere. We had the two juxtaposed. I don't remember where we had it. Okay, maybe at some point we'll come across it. Okay, let's go further. We have here lahakshav lachachma znecha tata libchad latuna. Okay. Rashi says. Rashi says lahakshav lachachma laasik b'torah means to be osik b'torah. Okay, Pasuk Gimel. Ki im labina tikra. Oh, here it is. That's what I was referring to. Right here. The two are right. I see it's right in front of me. That's what I was thinking about. Ki im labina sikra latavuna titin koilecha. See, in one Pasuk, the two obviously are different. You wouldn't put the same exact word in one Pasuk. The two have a different connotation. There is something called bina and there's something called tvuna. Let's see the Mesudas Pasuk Gimel. Ki im kasher tikra labina. Liskari v'lecha, and you will call out to bina to come close to it. Okay, the next words are there. That's all the mitzvah says, and Rashi is silent. Now, okay, there's a lot to discuss on this pasuk. But this first thing about this pasuk is this is the third stage in studying Torah, or the third condition of studying Torah. You need a tefillah. Person will only succeed in acquiring divine wisdom through the koyach tefillah. The divine wisdom is not like secular knowledge, which can be mastered without any special siyata d'shmaya. Everything needs a siyata d'shmaya, but it's enough to use the tools and the gift that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given a person at the time of birth, what he has in his mind, and that would be sufficient to acquire Chochmas HaOlam. But when it comes to the study of Torah, here the Pasuk makes it very clear, and there are many Ma'amari Chazal, we'll come to this in a few moments, there must be Tzfilah. And that's what this Pasuk of here means, yeah?
When Shlomo was, HaKadosh Baruch came to Shlomo and said,
what do you want?
What do you want, Kay? He said
Chochmah.
It was only Torah he was asking for, or
Chochmah
of everything?
Shlomo's Chochmah is, you can't, I don't think you can differentiate between this Chochmah of Torah and Chochmah of secular matters, because by Shlomo it's probably all integrated into his level of knowledge is beyond our understanding. Is the wisest of all men. So I don't know the answer to that question. I don't think we can use him as an example for the average person. I think these sigma here are addressing the average person, and it's telling you when it comes to Torah, you need special siyata d'shma. Every single day in Ahava Rabba, we say, we ask in Lusuk Ashkenaz, we ask the eight expressions. There are eight expressions, the same between Lahavin, Ulahaskil, Lishmoya, Lilmod, Ululamed, Lishmar, the lasos ulekayim, 8 expressions of chachmas. You ask me that the last couple of expressions are not chachmas. Let me tell you a very nice word from Rav Pam, and then an addendum to what Rav Pam said. First of all, let's go through the expression. Same blame luhavin. Okay, that's luhavin. That's obviously understanding. Lahaskil. Haskil is another expression of a deeper understanding. Luhavin lahaskil lishmoa, to listen. Lilmod, to learn. Ulalame, teach. Teaching is a form of learning, because through teaching, things become very clear. The greatest form of learning is teaching. Anyone that has taught knows that to be so. You don't really know something until you teach it, lilmod. And then it says, laasos. Now what would you simply translate laasos to mean? To do. Godol limud shemevi lidei mais. If you know the laws of the dalad minim, you'll know exactly what to look for in a kosher eshrog, in a kosher lulav. You'll know exactly how to be mekayim the mitzvah, right?
So,
enoch namid godol limud. The ikur is lasuke shmeitza liba dehilchasa. So, on a very simple level, you'll say, well, that's also part of learning, because the laasos, the doing is all for the purpose of the end result. So if you're learning with a kavana that you're going to be laasos, it's a different type of learning. If you're just going to learn, I have no intent that this learning should result in a new way to mekayim the mitzvah, then the attitude, the bar has been lowered very much, and the learning will be superficial. But if the person's kavana when he's learning is that he should reach a state where he'll be able to paskin lasuke shmeitza ali with hilchos, that's a much higher level of learning. So on a very simple level, you consider with lasos, even though literally it means to do, to be mekayim the mitzvah, it alludes to the type of learning. You're not just doing a learning to learn and to teach. It's a high quality learning where it will result in actual a conclusion in lasuke, we say lasuke shmaitza liba de hilchosa. Okay, then comes lishmar. Lishmar means to review. After you finish learning something, if you're not going to review, you're going to forget about it. Lishmar. Okay, lishmar. Lasos. Wait, how do I go? Same. The main lahavin lahaskel lishmoya lilmo lamed lishmar. First comes lishmar v'lasos, and then comes ulekayim. And ulekayim l'chora doesn't really fit into to the expressions of learning. Everything you're mentioning here is the expression of learning. Lasos we struggled with, and then comes ulekayim. It would seem to be repetition. It would seem to be the same exact thing as lasos. So Rapana said as follows. He said that after the Rapana, we could understand a second part of this idea. Lasos. Let's assume it means simply to do. I'm going to learn Torah in order to do. But that does not fit into the theme of Ahava Rabbah. Ahava Rabbah is all about a bakasha, tefillah, to succeed in learning Torah. To do the Torah, even though it might be a form of learning in order to do, but it still that does not fit into the theme. So he explains, you have no choice but to say the word la'asos does not mean to do the mitzvos, but it means to be creative, to be mechadesh in learning, to have come up with your own insights. That is called an asiya. An asiya means to create, to do. What do you mean to do? To do the mitzvah? No, that's not the theme of. That's not the theme of Ahava Rabbah. The theme of Ahava Rabbah is to learn. There are different types of learning. You can just read what it says, and then you can come up with your own approach, your own ideas, your own insights. Creativity in Talmud Torah. That is called La'asos. Then comes Ulekayim. What's Ulekayim? To publish. That your original creative ideas should be preserved in a sefer for all time. That's also writing. When you have to put something in writing, it also takes in a very great intense form of learning. It's Ein Adoyme the way when you go through a thought process in your mind, it's very nice. But when you have to put that idea in writing, you have to refine it to a very, very great degree before you to really understand what you think. What? I guess by the Anshei Knesset Hagdola.
That was before anybody could really write, right?
He's saying at that point in time, you know, so the Kaim, I guess, would then have to mean, if you said it's before the time of the Ace Lassos, you have to say that it would be preserved by the Talmidim. It would be, what? No, not until that was a later point in time. The notes already were talking about the Mishnais. They wrote cryptic notes, and that became the Mishnais. But originally, Dvarim Shebalpeh, Iyata, Rishai, things that are Balpeh may not be put in writing. So, Halacha L'maaseh, this is the bottom line of this idea. It's a very beautiful idea. The same B'libeinu, whenever you go to a person who publishes, sometimes they make a book party. Every so often, there are people who publish. Did you make a Suda for your Sefer? A
Kiddush.
A Kiddush. Okay, so what would be a good Dvar to say is to make a Kiddush, and people make a Suda. It's not so uncommon to hear people make a meal, a suda, a haida, when they publish a sefer. So what's the very beautiful word to say? It says the same b'lidein ulahavin ulahaskil lishmoya lilmod ulalamed lishmar vilaasos to be mechadesh, and the last level of the eight expressions is ulakayim, by publishing and preserving a sefer for all time, for posterity, you are being Mekayim, Ulekayim, it's called Divrei Salmud Torah Secha. Eight different expressions. These are all tfilos. All tfilos, and this is what it says here in this pasuk here, that if you want to acquire the Torah, it's not just enough lehakshiv lachochmos necha, to listen carefully, and tate libcha letuna, and to turn your heart, ki im labinot sikra. You must call out to Bina, meaning you must pray to Hashem that you should merit understanding. La Tevuna, and to come to the Madrega of a deeper insight, it's even greater than Bina, you must titain koilecha, you must give forth your voice, meaning you must pray with sincerity to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to merit the Siyat Shmaya, to acquire this Chachma.
I would say that this Chachma is Kafal
Milan Chagas.
First,
Eino Chanami, I am Panam Torah. I'm telling you, this idea I'm telling you comes from either the Gro, the Al-Sheikh.
That's
one level of understanding. It's just poetic repetition. Kafal hadavar b'miloy shaynais. Everything in Tanakh, most people in Tanakh are double over. Kafal hadavar b'miloy shaynais. But at a deeper level, there is different expressions of tefillah. Okay, then the next part goes on.
You said there was a supplement to Rabbi?
Oh, that was a supplement. Rabbi Palmi only talks about la'asos. La'asos to me means to be mechadish. Rabbi Palmi's idea was, and it says in the bracha, he asked the question, what does it mean la'asos? La'asos simply means to be mekayim the mitzvahs. That's not the theme of a havarabba. The theme of a havarabba is to learn Torah. So the word la'asos does not fit. Rabbi Palmi says la'asos means to be mechadish, original chidushim in Divrei Torah. That's all he says. Now take that idea, what Rapam says, and go next. What then does it mean to lekayim? It means to take those ideas and put it in a book, and it should be preserved for all time.
Did you write that?
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe Rapam is thinking of la'asos in the sense of asher bara Elokim la'asos,
To create. Creativity. The greatest form of learning is to be creative, to have your own, to own ideas. Not just to take an old vart and have a spin if someone wants to complain. A lot of the Torah today, unfortunately, a lot of the Torah today is just regurgitated. A lot of the Svarim today, by a sefer, they're just salikot. They're collecting old ideas. And at best, they're taking old ideas and they're just altering it. Spin-offs. Tweaks and old ideas. It's very frustrating because it's like getting stale. And it's very rare to find something fresh. Chiddush. Something original. And the problem is, today, if someone's something original, what happens? The first thing is you shut down. What's this source? What's the makar? How can you say such a thing? So I used to, years ago, I used to speak two different places to speak, like in a more modern crowd. And if I would say original things, no one would ever say boo. Say whatever I want. And like, they just accept it. Torah Misinai. Then if I would go and say the same exact thing in a much more right wing crowd, the first thing, without exception, someone would come over to me after my Dvar Torah, they would say, "Where does it say this? Who says this? Yeah. Who says this? What's the makar?"
You cannot be original.
So I would say, "There is no makar." So how can you say such a thing like that? How dare you? You have to be careful, okay?
In publishing, the first thing that the right wing crowd wants to see is who's your haskamas?
Absolutely, that's exactly. Who are the haskamas? But even the some that have the haskamas, 90% of them are just likutim. They're just a collection. There is no.
It's
all right, yeah. Well, haskamas also.
Whatever he wants to say personally, he has to put in brackets.
Well, haskama, besides the fact that it tells you who the person is, it tells you he is a product of these institutions. Yeah.
I just think that haskamas are just. For your resume, they want to know your resume. Where you know?
Right, exactly. It's a resume. It's a bio.
And if you don't,
it's care a bio.
Is,
what?
You know, if you're saying
right,
you don't care what you're.
There are many people that would not.
It's not about my resume, which is how I do.
But they won't buy it. People won't buy it.
People will not invest. Reading a sefer. Not everyone is so quick, and they're able just to go through a sefer in 10 minutes to read it, to go through and spend time in a sefer. It's an investment. It's an investment of time. And to go through a book, you go even buy anything. You want to go through something, it takes plenty of time. If you're going to invest your time in understanding what it says in someone's sefer, you want to know who is this person? Where did he come from? I mean, who are his rebbeim? Where is he coming from? And you get a flavor of who he is before you'll spend all that time and money in purchasing the sefer. Okay, let's go back over here to the next one. Now, this is what it is. These are the two different expressions of tefillah, the koyach tefillah. Okay, it's well known that we're going to have tefillah really in the next pasuk. It's really a medrash. In fact, I'll tell it to you now. Okay, I'll just jump ahead. This is pasuk vav. This is a medrash that appears in pasuk vav. It's Gemara Masechet Nida. The pasuk there says, "Ki Hashem yitin chachma mipiv das usfunah makadosh baruch hu comes chachma." And das usfuna. So the measure, the gemara. This is not a measure. The gemara masecht anida on daf ayin on the base. The very end of masecht anida. Ella shoalu chachme Alexandria shall be Rabbi Yeshua ben Chanina. Ma yase adam v'yecham. What should a person do to become wise? Right? How does one become wise? So you go to medical school. You go to basement. You go to yeshiva. Amar lohen. Yar Rabbi Yeshiva, very simple. You want to become wise, so go to the base medrash and spend long hours in the base medrash. V'mayit la'asayik b'schara. Give up your smartphone. Give up your parnasa. Give up all of the distractions, and you'll become wise. The Chazon Ish says the ikar of becoming wise is not so much learning; it's removing the distractions. And a person would remove the distractions that surround him. Mimela, he would gravitate towards chokhmah. Takes time, and that's what the Chazon Ish he composed the tefillah for mothers to say when they light candles for their children. And the focus, the thrust of his tefillah is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should take away the distractions from their child. And Mimela, they will be influenced by their positive surroundings to become Talmidei Chachamim. So the problem with this approach is the Gemara says, they ask Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya, just go to Yeshiva and you'll become wise. And Mimayik B'schara, Amrulo, they said to Rabbi Yeshua, Harbe Asukein V'lo Hoyel Lohem. Many people tried this approach and were unsuccessful. Did not work. So it's not so simple. Ella, so here comes the clincher. Ella, he says, you're right. Yivakshu rachamim mimi shachochma shelo. It's a gift. Okay, it is a gift, and you need to be mevakesh mimispalol shenemar. As the pasuk vav will come to soon says, ki Hashem yitin chochma mipiv das usfuna. Hashem grants chochma. From him comes, from his piv comes das usfuna. And Tani Rabbi Chia, Moshe Lamelech Batsav Adam, Shasa Sudu La'avada, V'mshage Lo'ayavav Mashal. The Gemara goes through this example, and the Gemara goes on to say, that the purpose of this Maamar Chazal is you need both. Just being mispalel is not enough. In other words, the question was, why then if ultimately a person needs to come on to Chochmah, needs to come on to Tefillah, so why then did he bother telling them in the beginning the person should go to Yeshiva and be might in the business? So the Gemara says the answer is that you need both. One without the other is not going to work. You need to put in your Hishtalis. You need to put in long hours. Burn the midnight oil. When you burn the midnight oil, and you are misfollow, then you have a winning combination. You need the Koyach HaTfilah. There are many stories of different Gdolei Yisrael, especially about the Chazon Ish. The Chazon Ish, he was mechadesh things. I mean, his Yedias HaTorah and his Chochmas HaTorah, his creativity was unmatched. And he said about himself that it came through the Koyach of Tfilah. What you can accomplish in the Koyach of Tfilah, through Tfilah, can own, that is something that is special siyata d'shmaya. It's interesting, you look at people today, and I know, if you ever look at Rabbi Wolfson or Moshe, Rabbi Moshe Wolfson's Sfar, Emunasi Techa, it's a 3-volume set, Emunasi Techa, and then every year or two, they publish from his Talmidim, his Hasidim, they publish Kuntresim. He speaks every Shabbos multiple times, and they have people who are assigned to memorize what he says. And then after Shabbos, they write it up, they edit it, and about every year or two, they publish. I'm not just telling you from my point of view, I'm telling you what's well known out in the world, is that the stuff that he writes is incredibly creative. New yesoides, like new concepts. You, if you would not know better, you would think that this is a Ramban. Ramban writes yesodos, chidushim, new things, no one ever heard before. New concepts. Today, almost, like I told you, everything we have today is just spin-offs of the old Yesodos. He writes these incredible, incredible new things no one ever heard before. Beautiful ideas. And it's not a surprise, because if you ever spend time in his Beis Medrash, it becomes very obvious he has an incredible Koyach HaTfilah. There are very, very few people today that you can say about them that they know how to daven. Go into a shul, okay, people daven, they daven nice, but you have to see how he davens. Like you have to see his base measure on a regular day, on a Tuesday morning. Psukei de Zimra, I think, takes 45 minutes. 45 minutes. They start very early. So they 45 minutes.
45 minutes for what?
For Psukei de Zimra. How long does it take Sukkah de Zimra in the average shul?
10 minutes.
Less. 7 minutes. What? Well, that's how long it should take. You can't really do it. Time it. Try to sit down and try to read every single word fast. It'll take you 15 minutes. Close to 15 minutes. Most shuls, I don't think that you'll find a shul here that takes them, that they allocate more than 7 minutes. The most. What? Okay, then you air and you want to eat brachas and you'll have kaddish and you'll have a small amount of time for korbanos. But there, I once spent some time there, and there it's very, I mean, it's certain chassidish mahalach. You know, they scream. It's not for everyone. The screaming is not settling. It's unsettling. What I know, okay, that's a chassidish mahalach. They're not extreme in that matter. But they do have that style as well. But it's impressive. You can't walk away, and it's not a surprise then to see that when you read some of his chidushim, and like you say to yourself, wow. How in the world did he come up with that idea? So sometimes, you know, you read a sefer. Baruch Hashem, I have a lot of time on drush. I spend a lot of time on drush. It's just a hobby. And my father, Baruch, who's a rav, so my father has a lot of sfarim on drush machshava. So you know, you have a choshev sefer. Good sefer, as a good rabbi, you go to the sefer and you read it. You spend a lot of time. And when you say to yourself, when you finish, wow, it's impressive. Okay, but I don't want to brag. But if I would spend 20 hours, I could do the same thing. I can't. I know it's not true. But you see that if you, yogata umatzasa, you take out all the sources and you go through the entire process. It's a very long, difficult process. But if you'll go through the work, you'll spend 5 years doing this, nothing else but this. You can see that if you devote yourself, okay, you need siyat shmai to have the stamina to devote yourself to a project. You need discipline, but you can sense that if I had the discipline, I would be able to do something very similar. Oh, I don't have the discipline. I'm distracted. I'm lazy. I have other interests, whatever it is. But you get a sense, this guy, kol hakavod, he did it. He did it. And then every so often you come across something and you say to yourself, you know, even if I bang my head into the wall for 100 years, I would never ever be able to come up with something like this. It is just so out of this world. It is so off the charts. It is so amazing. It's a gift. It's nothing more than a gift that HaKadosh Baruch Hu put this machshava and put this machshava in this person's mind. You have to be a malach elokim to be merit to have such shiat shmaya to accomplish something like this. That was true also in the second world as well. Okay, it's not just true in the Jewish world. It's true people who discover cures for diseases, people who come up with inventions, technology. It's also a gift. It's just an inspiration that HaKadosh Baruch Hu puts machshava into your mind. But in the world of Torah, it's a different league. It's a different caliber. It's a whole different world. And that comes through the koyach of tefillah. That is clearly a koyach of tefillah. It's not something which comes through just a process. There's a process. You can accomplish things through the natural gifts that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given you. But there are things which are siyat shmaya, and that's what the Mefarshim here point out in these few psukim. Number one, the pasuk over here of ki'im labina sikra. You must call out to bina latvuna titin koylecha. It refers to the koyach of tefillah, and again, it's expressed in pasuk vav. A person will be mispalo and will go through the other stages, the other things that we mentioned here, lahakshev lachachma znecha and tata libcha letzvuna. Then he will merit that pasuk vav ki Hashem yitin chachma mipiv das usmuna. That will come through the koyach of tefillah.
Okay. Praying for it, and he woke up one morning, and all of a sudden, a lot of things became clear.
Siyat Tishmaya, yeah. Siyat Shmaya through Koyach HaTzilah. Pasek Dalet Im Tivak Shenek Cha Kosev. A person will seek Torah like money. V'chanat Monim Tichap Sena, and will seek it out, search for it like treasure. Now I left that one important pasek. It's a very bizarre medrash. Back in Pasuk Gimel, ki im labina sikra. The Gemara makes a drasha. The word im is related to the words mother. Okay, im, aim. Aim is mother. And the Gemara there, okay, this is an extremely, extremely bizarre. I don't think anyone can really have an explanation what this means. Okay, it's interesting. The article didn't even want to write the Medrash because it's so delicate. It's not for the masses to hear this chazal. So they fudged it, but the Gemara says haba al imay bachalaim yitzape labina. A person in his dream sees himself having relations with his mother. Okay, incest. I mean, this is like the worst of the worst. This this is this, yeah, sorry. This is what Amon did. Menashe, and then Menashe was born in Avodah Zarah. But Amon, his son, he was even worse. He took his mother into the Kodesh HaKadoshim and actually did this in the Kodesh HaKadoshim on top of a Sefer Torah. So who would even have such machshavas in his mind that this should percolate when he's sleeping? Are you saying Freud? Freud had takasek. Maybe he was a maneuver like this, but it's an extremely bizarre chazal that a person does have such a dream. That's what it says in the Gemara. I'm not making this up. You can't make this stuff up, right?
Now in Freud's writing, some of the things that he actually, it seems, believed in God to a certain degree was that in his office he had a menorah and various other things, and he had various things, and he doubted a lot of things that it bothered him.
Interesting.
So certain things he had machshavas about God. They have some of his writings now.
Because the Gedolei Yisrael have very terrible things to say about him as far as what he did. What he did.
He caused it. He caused it.
He destroyed. He destroyed the neshama. Yeah.
Interesting. Givings, let's say.
All right. Very interesting. I think I once read from Rav Hutner. He wrote about him. He wrote. He wrote the damage that he inflicted upon the world. Like he attributes to him. Like, okay, you go to college, take a course, okay, there was, you talk about him, what you read his stuff and this and that. But Rav Chudner, he really puts him in the limelight, that he was responsible for a incredible yurida of ruchnius in this world, his mahalach, which has penetrated, has spread throughout the world. Right. But here, this is the Gemara Masech, the Brachos, Daf Nun Zayin, Habo al Ima Bechalam Yitzap Labina Shnemar, ki Im Labina Sikra. Don't read it Im, read it Aim, a mother. A mother is Bina. Nashim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu granted Nashim Bina Yisera. From women come Bina Yisera, so a person sees himself connected to his mother. That is an indication that he is going to marry in the near future Bina Yisera. Okay, this one interesting point I want to make over here from this Gemara. This Gemara opens up a very interesting idea. We discussed this many, many times about the nature of the Hebrew language, is that a word is the letters of a word is raw material, it's chomer, which when you add the vowels, you are able to stretch it to its extremes. The classic example is Yishrosh and Yishareish. That's one of the classics. The word Shoresh, Shin, Resh, Shin is to take root, a Shoresh. Then if you spell it Yishrosh, it means to take root. Yishareish means to uproot. You take a word and you can go to its extremes. We have this week's parsha. The woman will loosen the shoe from upon the foot of her brother-in-law. And Shabbos, Birchas Rosh Chodesh, we say every 11 times a year, Chilutz Atzamos. So what does that mean? You want the bones to become loosened out of the sockets? That's not what you want. You want the bones to be firmly inserted in the socket and with healthy muscle and tendons. You want it to be in the socket. It's the same with the word, the ches, lamed tzadi, is a word which can be expanded into the two extremes. Either it means to loosen, or it means to be firmly tightened, to be firmly put in position. You can loosen it, or you can make it tight. Okay, there are many, many examples. This medrash opens up that this concept also is true when it comes to a mother. Now, let me give you an elaboration. We have a concept of emunah, faith. So the commentators explain, what is the shorish of the word emunah? An aim, a mother. Why is emunah, faith, associated with a mother? There is no greater faith in this world than an infant has in his mother. A child is born, and there's a mother. And he right away senses that his mother feeds him, the mother takes care of him. A child has faith in his mother. There is a natural connection between the love of a mother and her child. That relationship is the mashal of emunah. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu demands of us that we should have faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu the same way an infant has faith in its mother. Okay, so that's an aim. An aim basically means emunah, complete faith. What else does aim mean? What do we learn from this pasuk? Im, if. What does im mean? Maybe. Maybe yeah, maybe not, I'm not so sure. Im is the complete opposite of emunah. Emunah means, I have no doubt. It's 100% certain that everything's going to be okay. It's going to be for the best. Whatever it is, that's emunah. The opposite of emunah, I don't know. I might just perish. I might suffer. That's the opposite. That's why im, and we see that from this medrash, im labina sikra, don't read it im, read it aim. The Gemara is dashing this for its own purpose, to tell you that a person has a dream of his mother. It means he's going to merit bina, because women have bina yisera. They generally say that a lot of the sons take after the mother. Daughters take after the father. Ruba deruba. It's not 100%, but ruba deruba, we do see that definitely be true. And being that a woman has the bina yisera, the bina yisera of a woman goes into her son. and the stubbornness of the husband goes into the daughter. I know. I take that back. But
I'll fall back.
Okay, but this is an idea. He actually over here says he just over here says here in this Sefer Divrei Yaakov, he just says that this Chazal is extremely bizarre, and we don't really know what this means. This chazal of seeing a person's mother in his dream. Okay, well, let's go to the next pasuk. We then come to tivak shena kakesef. A person should seek it like money. Vicha mat moinim tichapesem. That's even a greater intensity. Pasuk dalon and mitzudas tavik kakesef. Ki hamavakish es hakesef. As a person seeks money, and then like treasures, and then a person will merit. Okay, oz, pasuk, they'll go to pasuk, okay, then a person does all these things, then tovin yiras Hashem, when he does all these things, he will then succeed on the sinning yiras Hashem, v'das lukim timsa, and he will, the das of lukim timsa will be found. If he will do these five things that we mentioned in the previous psukim of lahakshiv, tate, and mimispalel, and mimavakesh, and then chapes, all the five expressions, each one is leading up. All the tefillah is in the middle, but these five things are going to be done. Then he will succeed. Us tavin yiras Hashem, you'll understand yiras Hashem. V'das l'kim timsa, two different expressions of yira and das, because reishis chokhma yiras Hashem. You need yira as a prerequisite for the acquisition of acquiring das. Notice here it says das. This parallels what we said in the beginning of the sefer, that Shlomo HaMelech, he says that basically reishis das yiras Hashem, in contrast to David that says reishis chokhma yiras Hashem. Shlomo said that the beginning of das is yiras Hashem, so he's repeating it over here, the same exact thing again. You'll do these five things, you'll have yitav in yiras Hashem v'das l'kim timson. There's a very important chazal, we know that in Shmoneh Esrei, the fourth bracha is the bracha of Ato Chonein Li'Odam Das. Why is Das the fourth bracha? Because it's juxtaposed to Ato Kadosh V'Shimcha Kadosh. Let me actually read you the Medrash. Keshalu Alexandria. That's the drasha here. I'm sorry. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak. This is a Yerushalmi in Masechta Brachos Daf Perek Dalet. Perek Dalet Halacha Dalet. Brachos Perek Dalet Halacha Dalet. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak Gedolehi Hadas Adaya Shehi Mimutzahas Bein Shtei Hazgaros. Das is very great. It's very great because we find it sandwiched between two shemos of Hashem. Pasuk in Shmuel Aleph, a pasuk that we say on Rosh Hashanah, the Haftarah, the first day of Rosh Hashanah, the Tefillah of Chana, Kikel Deos Hashem. So the word Deos is sandwiched with the word Kel on the beginning and the word Hashem Yudke Vavke at the end. Okay, that's, I think, that we use to explain, that's why it's the first bracha of the Bakashos. After we go through Ato Kodesh V'Shimcha Kodesh V'Kadosh V'Chol Yom Ya'alucha Selah, after we focus on Kodesh Baruch Hu's sanctity, we focus on Kodesh Baruch Hu's shame, then we go into Ato Chonein Li'odam Das V'Mulam Eileinu Shpina. Okay, that's, I think many of us are familiar with that Maimon Chazal. But there's a second part of that Maimon Chazal, and that ties into this Pasuk in Mishlei. Because some say, is the boy Mishmane Min Hadah. Others say the source that on the Das is very great, and the proof is that it's sandwiched in between the two shameless of Kodesh Baruch Hu comes from this Pasuk here in Mishlei. Look what it says, Oz Tavin. Then you understand Yiras Hashem Yudke Vavke Vidahas, and then it says Elokim Timsa. So Das is sandwiched between Yudke Vavke on the beginning and Elokim on the other side. And in fact, this to some degree is even greater than the other pasuk of Kel Deos Hashem, because Yudke Vavke is the full shame of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Kel is not a full name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Kel is a name which Okay, it's one of the seven names. Like Rosh Baruch, there are seven names that are Kodesh, and one of them is Kel, but it's a shorter name. The primary name that we focus on more often than not is Yud Kei Vav Kei. That represents Hashem's Midas Harachamim. Elokim represents the Midas Hadin. In the beginning of the Torah makes it clear, B'yom Biro Hashem Elokim Eis Hashemayim V'Horetz. These are the two names from which creation began. And these are the names that are the primary names. And that's exactly what it says here. Hashem Yudke Vavke, then comes Vidas, the concept of Das, and then comes Elohim. It's more powerful than Kel, Deos Hashem. There it's Yudke Vavke. Kel means power. Kel is a name which means Hashem's power. Then there's also Rachamim, and in between is Das. The only drawback about this pasuk is the Vav. The Vav Vidas. Yitke Vavke Vidas. The Vav is a Vav Hachibur. It's not really part of the concept. Whereas the pasuk of Kel Deos Hashem is a pure word. There is no prefix. It's just Deos. But the... Yeah?
I just want to equate the word Yiras, fear of Hashem's Racham.
Yiras Hashem, so you...
Yitke Vavke, you just said, it's Racham.
And then you have Yud Kei Vav Kei. So that's the var which really comes from this week's parsha. This week's parsha, we complain against Amalek that V'lo Yorei Elokim.
That's what Aleph Lamed.
Elokim with Midas Hadin. So let me bring out the point. The question is, why is that a reason to destroy them? By the way, when it says V'lo Yorei Elokim, is Machloek is referring to Klal Yisrael L'lo Yorei Elokim, or is it referring to Amalek who are V'lo Yorei Elokim? The similar understanding is referring to Amalek. Amalek is an evil nation. They are in the category of V'lo Yorei Elokim. Therefore, we have to obliterate them. The question the commentators ask, just because they're not Yorei Elokim, we have to obliterate them? Really? Yiras Shemayim is not an easy matter. It's not so simple to acquire Yiras Shemayim. Mo Hashem Elokecha Shol Meimach Kim Liyir also. The Gemara says, V'chi Yira Milsa Zutrasi. The Gemara says, is Yira something easy? The Gemara acknowledges it's very... It was in Lagame Moshe. For Moshe Rabbeinu, it was a simple matter. But for the average man, the common man, it's no easy thing to acquire. So the Chazal acknowledge it's not a simple matter. So why do we criticize them only to the degree that because they lack Yerushalayim, we have to obliterate them? So the answer they give is a very simple answer. A lot of the Parshim say the same thing is, the pasuk Mo Hashem Elokecha Shol Meimach, what does Hashem want from you? Yud Kei Vav Kei. Mo Yud Kei Vav Kei Elokecha. Hashem wants from you Yira of Rachamim. Meaning to appreciate HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that to recognize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does with this world rachamim. A person has to realize that he's blessed. Everything that happens in this world is a blessing. Amalek, they're much worse. They don't fear Elokim. In other words, Yiras Elokim is something which everyone has to recognize punishment. If you're going to sin, you have to recognize there's going to be a day of reckoning, and you're going to be accountable for your sins. Yiras Elokim. What is hard? That's easy. That is easy as pie. Every single person, the simplest person, expected to have within him some small degree of Yiras Elokim. Midas Hadin, to recognize, just like people, we see people die, people suffer, means it's a mashal that people are going to be responsible and pay for their sins. What's hard is to come to a higher madrega of what we call Yiras Haroimimus, and that is captured within Yud Kei Vav Kei. So they're not exactly the same. So here, when it says that, your point is Oz Tav and Yiras Hashem, is you're going to merit the higher level of Yiras Shemayim. When Moshe Rabbeinu said Mo Hashem Elokecha Shol Meimachim LiYira, which Chazal acknowledges is a difficult Einochinami, but the Yiras Elokim is something which is easy to acquire, and Amalek are severely criticized or harshly criticized for lack lacking that small degree of midas yiras elokim. So there's yiras Hashem and yiras elokim. Yiras elokim is easy, yiras Hashem is difficult. Every creature in this world is expected to have some small degree of yiras elokim, and if one fails, that means you're identifying with Amalek, and that type of person has to be obliterated. But what a person is not held accountable for, what a person should strive to achieve his entire life, is what it says here in this pasuk of Yiras Hashem. Okay, let's go on to the next pasuk. Ki Hashem Yitin. Now we come to this next idea. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives Chochma. Hashem Yitin Chochma Mipiv Das Hashem Yitin Chochma Kama Mipiv Das Usuna. The Mitzvah Yitin Yitin Chochma Yitin Lecha Chochma Mipiv HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives Chochma Mipiv Yigal Lecha Mistore HaChochma Kiilu Mipiv Yom Alach. This means secrets. What comes out of a Kodesh Baruch Hu's mouth represents the concept of the Sisrei Torah. Rashi says, Ki Hashem Yitin Chochma Cholamata Shegedoylo Hi Shrednitna Mipi HaKadosh Baruch Hu Lekach Ata Tzach Liknoisa. Being that Chochma comes directly from Kodesh Baruch Hu's pith, it's not something which comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu's guf kaviyachol, whatever that means, but it comes from his essence, it comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu's mouth, and it's the most, that's what differentiates man from the animal, and man has the koyach hadibor. So when it comes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when a person is created with tzilim elokim, so the most chashuv part of HaKadosh Baruch Hu kaviyachol is his koyach hadibor, is his peh, and since Chochma comes from that part of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's essence, that it means that it is extremely valuable, and we should strive to achieve it. Where do we come onto this idea of mipiv in our davening? Chaneinu me'itcha, from within you. Why do we have to say me'itcha? Chaneinu, chochma bina vodas. Why did the Anshei Knesses Hagdola have to add the word me'itcha, from within you? Because that word me'itcha means from within your essence. Within your essence, it parallels the idea that it comes here, mipiv. Okay, how this medrash, famous medrash Chazal, tell us that a child of a king, he comes home and he sees his father, the king is eating food, so the father says, what would you like to eat, my child? Whatever you like, I have a chef. He'll make for you whatever you like. So the father, the child, the king tells the chef to make all the delicacies, and he puts it in front of the child. The child doesn't want to eat. So I want to eat what you're eating. I want to eat what you're eating. Whatever you're eating, I want to eat. Not only what you're eating, I want to eat what's in your mouth. If it's good enough for you, the love a child has for the father demands that he actually take the food out of the father's mouth and put that food into his own mouth. That's the same idea. We don't want other external gifts. We want something which comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu's essence. Okay, next pasuk says, Yitzpon la'yisham toshia magen l'holchei son. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he hides for the yashar. Toshia is another word for Chochma. Let's right away look at the Mitzudos Tzion. Toshia, HaTorah nikrates Toshia. What's the word Toshia? Yesh. Miloshon Yesh. It's something. In other words, people are always looking for satisfaction, for an experience. They want money. And then after they have all the money, they say, are you satisfied? No. I want more. There's something that I'm missing in life. So, what?
Power.
Power. Then they have power. Are you satisfied? No, there's something I'm missing. I want kavod. Oh, kavod, honor. I want the world to bow down to me. I'm missing something. They're always searching. They're always searching for something of substance, of yesh. The something which truly brings satisfaction is Torah. Torah is the most satisfying thing there is in this world. It's yesh. And that's why Torah is described as toshia. It comes from the word yesh. L'hanchel lo'ohava yesh. Hashem will bequeath to his beloved yesh. Eretz Yisrael had how many kings? What is yesh? It was like 310 worlds. 310 worlds, because yesh means HaKadosh Baruch Hu will grant substance. How many kings were there in Eretz Yisrael when Klal Yisrael entered in the time of Yehoshua? 31. Because the Eretz Yisrael is the Yesh. 31 is the Mispar Katan of Shai Olamos. There are 310 worlds in Shemayim. The parallel to the Olam HaNitzchi is Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael was broken up by the Canaanim to 31 kingdoms. Well, it was just a random number. Happened to be there were 31 kings happened to be living in Eretz Yisrael. Just a mazel? No, the reason why there were 31 kings living in Eretz Yisrael was because the 31 is a microcosm, the Mispar Katan of the Shai Olamos, 310 worlds. Why are there why 310 worlds? Because 310 is Yesh. It's the real deal. It's the only thing that brings true satisfaction. It'll also say what else satisfaction does it bring? What is another form of satisfaction? Yesh is Rosh Tevos, Yiras Shamayim. Lahanchel Le'ohav Yesh. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will bequeath to those that he loves Yira Shemayim. If you have Ava, Ava is incomplete without Yira. All of these ideas go together. Yesh, Yira Shemayim, Shai Olamos, Mispar Katan, and all of that is also captured in Toshia. Toshia is Torah knowledge, which is the true Yesh. Chazal said there are three things which come with Yisurim. Olam Haba, Eretz Yisrael, and Torah. So what is Olam Haba? Lahanche, what do they all have in common? All of these three things? They all have Yesh. Olam Haba is Shai Olamos. Called Tzadik V'Tzadik, Shai Olamos, Olam Haba. Eretz Yisrael is broken up to 31 districts. 31 districts, you can't say not. Sefer Yeshua, it's a whole page. 31 kings. It's even called a Shira. To Shira and say the 31 kings of Canaan. 31 kings. Eretz Yisrael. Torah, what is Torah? Torah is called Toshia. What's Toshia? Mitzudo Sion, HaTorah Nikres Toshia Miloshon Yesh. Kiyeshna La'olam V'loisoshuv La'ayin. It is exists in this world, it's Yesh, it's real substance, it's real matter. It will never disappear. The world may crumble and turn into dust, but Torah will always remain. Kasher hadvarim shel kasher hadvarim shel olam. Rabbi Seinu zechon levoch amru al shem she mitashesh es kufa adam halaim da. Okay, the Gemara makes another drasha that it weakens a person. That person only comes this through. So these are three parallels: El Haba, Eretz Yisrael, and Torah. The common denominator is Yesh. It's the true substance. So Yitzpon, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yitzpon, he will put away in hiding. Look in the Mitzudos David. Yitzpon Hashem Histir, Rozeh HaTorah, Hashem hides the secrets of the Torah. The Shoimram, who does Hashem guard them for? Le'sitam, to deliver them. La'yisharim, b'libaisam, to put them into the hearts of the upright. Umogein hu l'holchei Torah, and Torah also serves as a shield for those that travel in sincerity with wholesomeness. Derech l'hatzilah mimichshol, the Torah is a means of preventing a person from stumbling. As you say, adirei ha-Torah, the balei treisin, the mishnah of the Gemara, the talmidei chachamim, what?
Adirei ayuma.
What's ayuma mean? The fearful.
That's the beginning of the
tefillah. The tefillah, diri ayuma, balei tresin. The Mishnah of the Gemara, they are the people who study Torah, they're referring to the beginning of the Asara Yamalchus. Arzei Halavonan. This refers to these are the mighty ones. They are balei tresin. Being that they possess Torah, they are protected. They fulfill exactly what it says here in this pasuk: Mogein l'holchei som. It is a shield for people that walk in this world with wholesomeness, and for them it is hidden away the sisrei Torah. They are called the Yesharim, and for them it is hidden away the sisrei. The others are called the Yesharim Sefer Hayashar. Sefer Hayashar is an interesting idea. This really goes back to Parasha Shoftim. So I came across a very interesting idea last week, Parasha Shoftim. Parasha Shoftim is, in addition to being mentioned, being a parasha in the Torah, it's also an entire Sefer in Nevi'im. Yeshua, after Sefer Yeshua comes Sefer Shoftim. What does it say about Sefer Shoftim? Ein, Bayamim Hohaim, Ein Melech Yisrael, Ish Hayosha Beinav Yase. It says that pasuk multiple times, multiple forms. They're during the time of the Shoftim. There's the Shoftim. Everyone does whatever. There's no king. There's a Shofet. There's a leader. But Bederech Klal Ish Hayosha Beinav Yase. Do whatever you want. So the word Yosha gets a bad reputation. Ish Hayosha Beinav. Yet Chumash Bereshis, the foundation of Klal Yisrael, is called Sefer Hayosha. And look what came out of Sefer Hayosha. There were no kings. Klal Yisrael knew no king. There was just one person: Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov. Sefer Shmos, Sefer Bereshis, ends off pretty much. There are 70 people. Could be the Vayifu, Vayibu Maol, could they say that in Chumash Bereshis? I don't remember. So Vayifu and the Vayigash. Okay, so they multiplied. But when they came down, there were only 70 people. There was no king. There was Avraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov. Sefer Hayosha. Ish Hayosha Bein of Yase. Then it comes to the Shaftim. Oh, Yosha. When you do whatever is Yosha, it's no good. It's a Melech B'Yisrael. It's the Wild West. Ish Hayosh Min Aviyase. So the answer is in Echnami, a melech to some degree limits you. When you have a melech, you're limited. You can't fully express yourself. Ever in an institution, think about it. There we go. Ever in an institution, you know, there's a Rosh Shiva. You can't give a shir. There's a Rebbe. You're in a shul. There's a rabbi. Just because you have something to offer, there's protocol. I'm not the one in charge here. There's a rabbi, there's a rashiva, there's gabayim, or you go into a business, I have a great idea. It's not your business. Mind your own business. Don't mess around. Everything. When there is authority, people who have talent and have what to offer are stifled. And that's for the good. Because if every single person was allowed to get up by the bima, every week will have a rotation. Every week, who's going to give the drasha this week? Whoever has the best drasha. Well, no one. Every week will be someone else. There'll be chaos before you turn out. There'll be chaos. So you need authority. But when there is authority, unfortunately, there are occasions when there are people in the audience that can do better, or that can serve the community better. But you can't allow that to happen because it would turn into chaos. But if it would not turn into chaos, there would be some other technique, then indeed things could be better, exponentially better than they are now. Where do you draw the balance? That's an impossible thing to decide. When there is no melech, there's Yosha. In Chumash Bereshis, it worked out very well. There was no Melech. The Mela, it was Sefer HaYashar. The Avos were able to come forward and develop to a degree that's beyond anyone's wildest expectations. But in Sefer Shoftim, during the Tkuv of the Shoftim, the Skadnu Hadaros, when there was no authority, it was also Sefer HaYashar. That Yashar led to chaos. Shefait HaShoftim. Before you tell me to take out a thorn out of my eyes, take out the beam in your head. It led to chaos. It is a state of being of extremes. Of Yah. It can go to an extreme of Hefkerus, chaos, or if you're lucky, when there is no authority, there are opportunities present to become like Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. That's why they're both called Yashar. And depends. Here it says Yitzbon La Yasharim Toshia. Here we're referring to the Yasharim, that these are people that are not stifled; they're not limited. Only these type of people who are not limited, they are free to develop, to become great. Is it possible for the HaKadosh Baruch Hu to give Toshia, and for there to be this thing called Yitzpon, which means there'll be a treasure? Magen laholchei som, it will be a Torah, will be for them a shield for those who walk in wholesomeness. Okay, we will stop over here.